Welcome to the teaching ministry of Mike Moore Ministries with pastor and teacher, Dr. Michael D. Moore. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Moore.
We're going to look at the 9th divine secret of the productive life. And it's going to be very simple. I want you to listen at this secret. Number 9, commitment to apply the word of God in the arena of everyday life. Watch this now. And in the times of testing and challenge, that's the 9th key, a commitment to apply the word of God in the arena of everyday life and in the times of testing and challenge. Now, this one ultimately determines whether we win or lose. We've already won in Christ. Thank God he's already paid the price. He's already paid the price. Thank God he's already defeated the enemy. He's already given us the victory. But experientially, in terms of our everyday life, God wants us to win. And our capacity to win will be determined by our commitment to apply the word in our everyday life, and especially in times of testing and challenge. So I'm going to introduce a couple of texts, and then we're going to go back to Mark chapter 4. Let's look for just a moment. They're going to put it up on the monitor. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49. Now watch this. Jesus says to us, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Verse 47. Whosoever comes to me, Jesus says, and hear my sayings, watch this, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. Cometh, heareth, doeth. Now watch what he says. He's like a man which built a house and dig deep, laid the foundation on a rock, on a rock, on a rock, on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 49. Now he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently and immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I want you to go back to verse 48, and I want you to look at this. Now, two houses were built. Okay, two houses was built. One house stood the test. The other house didn't stand the test. That happens all the time in Christendom. Some Christians win. Thank God we all gonna make it to heaven. That's good, isn't it? We can all make it to heaven. But some of Christians win in life and some Christians don't win in life. Now, the challenge though is, what are we gonna do when the flood arose and when the stream beat vehemently upon the house? That's the test, okay? The test came to both houses, both houses. The house that stood was the house that was built on the rock. I ask people all the time, what the rock? They say, where's Jesus? You know, they say, being saved and all that. But I know of Christians who are in Jesus, who are saved, but in their everyday life, sometimes they come up short. The rock is not Jesus, although he's the foundation. We know he's the foundation. The rock is coming, hearing, and doing. Coming, hearing, and doing. Now watch this. In the test, in the challenge, we can all do it in Bible study. Mm-hmm. We can all do it on Sunday morning. Okay? But once we leave Bible study, once we leave church, what are we going to do with what we've heard? Let's look at another text over here in James, and then we're going to go back to Mark chapter 4. James chapter 1, look at what James says in verse 22. It says, but be ye what? Doers of the word, and what? Not hearers only. What? Deceiving your own selves. Look at the next verse. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, he's like a man beholding his face in a glass, a mirror. You look at your face in the mirror, not what, notice what it says, and he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way. Watch this. And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Next verse. He says, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that same mirror, watch this, and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, watch this, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, notice it says that the scripture tells us that if we're going to be successful in life, we have to be doers, not just hearers. Can't just come to church and hear the word. But when we leave church, we have to do what we've heard in church. It says it's like a man who comes up to a mirror, and we all look at a mirror. How many looked at the mirror this morning? I looked at the mirror. You should have looked at the mirror this morning. And he looks at him, hit the reflection of his image. Then once he leaves, scripture says he forgets what he saw in the mirror. Okay, now what he's saying there is that when we come and we look in the word, we get a reflection of who we are in Christ. Okay, when we leave and enter into the arena of everyday life, we can't forget what we heard when we were in church. The Bible says it is the man, woman, boy, girl who continues in what they've heard when they saw in the mirror, in the crucible of everyday life, that's going to be blessed. How many understand that? Okay, now, let's go back to Mark chapter 4. This is Mark chapter 4. We began at verse 1 and we're way down now. And I want to show you from the word that the disciples flunked the challenge test. They did what? They flunked. They did not pass. Come on, they flunked. Come on, say they flunked the challenge test. Now watch this. They had been sitting in Bible study all day while Jesus was teaching. Then after class, they went home and then they forgot what they had learned in Bible study. That's the scenario. That's what happened. Jesus had been teaching all day long. He said, so the word, and these are they which hear by the wayside, and Satan comes to take the word. He just teaching, and they sitting in Bible study, say, amen, Rabbi. And then when they got ready to go and leave, they forgot everything that they had learned in Bible study. Okay, now watch this. Let's read the scenario, verse 35 down through 40, and then we're going to come back and look at each verse, okay? It says, in the same day. Come on, say same day. What's the same day? Same day they had been in Bible study. I mean the same day they had just left church. They had just left church Sunday morning. He had been preaching, and just he said, same day at evening, when the evening will come, he said unto them, let us go to what? The other side. Okay, now what happened? When they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other what? Ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the wave beat into the ship, so that it was now what? Full. Now watch this. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not? See, they fell apart. They had just been in church, and then they got in the test, and they fell apart. Master, carest thou not that we what? Perish. He arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said unto them, he didn't say it like this. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith, my children? No, he didn't say it like that. He said it like that. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Yeah. That's how he said it. And they say it, verse 41, read verse 41. And they what? Fear exceedingly. Watch what they says. One to another. What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Okay, now we got the scenario. Okay, let's go back. And let's for a moment review what we learned in church. Okay, and because there was a gap, there was a disconnect between what they learned in church and how they function once they got in life. Girl, you got a new hair doing. She go head on. Give her a hand. She got a new hair. Go head on. Handle it, girl. Handle it. Got a new hair doing. Now, there's a disconnect between. there's a disconnect.
There's a disconnect between what they had learned in church and how they had functioned in their everyday life. So let's go back and let's look at the text. Let's look at the text. And the same day when the evening was come, this is after Bible study, after Sunday morning service, he said unto them, what? Let us pass over to the fat. So what did we learn in church? We learn it from verse 14 that the sower soweth the word. So that's the word. He just sowed the word. He just sowed it. He just sowed it. He said, we're going to the other side, guys. He said, we are going to the other side. He didn't say we're going to the other side, get in the middle and drown. He said, we're going to make it. He said, we're going to the other side. And he taught us that in Bible study. He taught us that the soul sows the word. We can't have victory until the word is sown. So what he did, he sowed the word. He said, let us pass over to the other side. So the soul sowed the word. Let's look at the next verse. And so they got in these little ships and they going over to the other side. Next verse. And there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship so that it was what? It was now full. But it doesn't bother us. It doesn't bother us that the ship is full of water. Why? Because he taught us in Bible study. Don't you remember in Bible study? He said once the word is sown, he said that Satan will come immediately to take away the word that was sown in the heart. So listen, we ain't frustrated. We ain't bothered by it. Now that's real water. That's drowning kind of water. That's not spiritual water. No, it's a real life illustration. So Jesus knows that when we go out in life, it's real stuff we're dealing with. This is not play stuff we're dealing with. It's spiritual problems. It's mental problems. It's financial problems. It is real life situations. But it doesn't bother us. It doesn't throw us because Jesus told us in Bible study. We learn in Sunday morning service that once the word comes, that Satan will come immediately to take away the word. So it doesn't throw us. He also taught us in the 17th verse. Don't you remember? He said, when they hear the word, he says, they immediately receive it in gladness. So everybody excited. We going to the other side. He says, they are doing for a little time.
Yes.
Then he says, but when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake. So now we got an affliction. But we know what that is. We know that's an adverse circumstance. We know that when the word is sown, Satan is going to come and he's going to create a circumstance, an affliction, that makes it look like the word is not going to come to pass. So it doesn't throw us, right? Come on, no, we're not thrown by it. In fact, we expect it. So when things look worse, it doesn't throw us off because Jesus taught us in Bible study that it was going to happen. So now we're right in the middle of this thing. It's a real life situation, but we know who's behind it.
That's right.
Yep.
Don't we?
Amen.
We know. We see you, devil, behind that affliction. We know you hiding behind that adverse circumstance. So we're not thrown off about it, right? And we don't get mad with each other and fall out with each other, do we? Because Jesus taught us in Bible study. Right? Look at the next verse. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, what? Asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we what? Well, he should sleep. He should sleep. Because he taught us in Bible study. In verse 26, that when the word is sown, he should sleep and rise night and day because the seed going to spring up and grow. So we don't worry. We go to sleep. So Jesus had sold the word. He knew how to react on the word. He knew that the word was going to produce. He knew that going to the other side had been sown. So he wasn't worried. He knew that the word was going to produce. Watch this. So he went in, went to sleep. So he's asleep on the pillow. And that's how we function. Even in adversity, we don't get thrown about it. We don't have to take sleeping pills.
All right.
We don't have to have sedatives to keep us together. No, we can sleep because we know that the seed that we've sown should rise and grow up. We don't know how it's going to produce. Because the boat full of water, but we know that it's going to spring up and grow, but we know not how, but we ain't worried about it. Because we learned that in what? Bible study. Right? Now watch this. But there was a disconnect. They had sat in church. Some of them were dozing while the preacher was preaching. Others were thinking about, man, we'll sure be glad when he finished. So we can go out and get us some lunch after church. So you had all kind of folk. You got folk texting during the sermon and stuff like that. And they sending messages to each other doing the thing. And so when they got in the situation, they forgot what they had learned in Bible study. So they went to Jesus and he said, "Care thou not." So now Jesus had already taught us about that, didn't he? Because in Bible study, he told us that the cares of this world, didn't he? So now watch this. They've allowed themselves to be distracted by what's going on, right? And distracted people try to distract others. So now they're trying to put their care on him. You don't care. See, you don't care. You see, a lot of times people fall out with each other because they forgot what they learned in Bible study. So now they're upset at him. Now you don't even care, but he did care. See, the preacher told you. So even though he didn't come to the hospital, he had already prepared you. Even though he didn't call you on the phone, that doesn't mean he didn't love you. He was loving you in Bible study. He was preparing you in Bible study. But you weren't paying attention in Bible study. So you thought this telephone call was going to make the difference. But he loved you to teach you the word in Bible study so that when you enter into life, you could handle it. So the pastor doesn't love you by going to the hospital and call you on the phone. The pastor, the man or woman of God loves you when they get in the word and meditate in the word and prepare you so that when you leave out here, because that pastor that loves you know that he or she is not the answer. So he or she loves you enough to give you the answer and to prepare you so that when you could step out in life, you ain't looking to the pastor. You're looking to Jesus. You're looking to the soul. You're looking to the word. Yeah, you love your pastor. Yeah. It'd be good if we get a call from him. But that is not his love for me. His love for me is that he or she prepared me with God's word so that when I step into the arena of life, I can handle it. But there was a disconnect. They disconnected Bible study and Sunday morning service from the everyday life. Watch this. Look at the next verse. So he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still. Peace be still." And the Bible says the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Now I studied this out and the words "peace be still." Listen at this. The word "peace be still" means be muzzled and remain so. So we could say it like this: be muzzled, remain so, shut up, stop it. Okay, what does this mean? Be muzzled and remain so is a technical term for the dispossessing of a demon of his power, which implies that there was a demon behind the storm. So Jesus didn't get caught up in the storm because he knew there was a spirit behind the storm. So he wasn't talking to the wind. He was talking to the spirit that was trying to take the word. So he said, "Shut up and stop that." And the Bible says that there was a great calm. So that tells us that even though we got natural circumstances that we're dealing with, we're in spiritual warfare. And there are spiritual powers operating behind these circumstances to steal the word from us. But it doesn't bother us. We know Satan. We know what he's doing because we learned it where? In Bible study. We learned it on Sunday morning because we came to Bible study and we came to church and we got equipped so that we could go out in life and win in life. How many see that? Look at the next verse. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Can you imagine? You'd be saying, like, oh, Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah, that's how he said it. He didn't say, how you so fearful? You know? He said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Well, why did he rebuke them? Because he had taught them in Bible study. Take heed what you hear.
Yes, sir.
Pay attention to what you hear. The measure of thought and study you get to the truth you hear, believe the measure of virtue and knowledge. They didn't guard the ear gate. They didn't guard the, they didn't take heed. They were not paying attention. So he expected them to respond differently. They responded in fear because they didn't take heed to what they hear. They didn't take heed to how they heard. He taught them in Bible study. So they went out in life and acted like people who didn't go to Bible study.
Okay, look at the next verse. And they feared exceedingly, said one to another, what man of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. And see, we think that was very, that, listen. The reason he rebuked them is because he expected them to do what he did. And they said, what man of man is this? You're somebody special. He had spent all that time in Bible study. Not so they could think he was something special. He spent all that time in Bible study, watch this, so that they could be special. You better write that down. And so sometimes, don't get me wrong, I know we should honor the pastor. I know I'm a pastor. We respect the pastor. But sometimes we put the pastor up here when the pastor is just supposed to be an example. A pattern, and you're supposed to step out and do what the pastor does. In other words, he ain't supposed to be somebody up here and you somewhere down there. His job is to equip you to operate the same way.
Hallelujah.
Does that make sense to you? So you can see now what happened was there was a disconnect. They were not committed to the word in their everyday life. Now, it's so very important, y'all. It's so very important that we not just have church.
Glory, glory, glory.
Church and Bible study gives you an advantage. That's all it does. It gives you an advantage. Does that make sense to you? So let's talk a little bit about commitment. Look at some scenarios, and I'm going to shut it down, and we have Q&A, okay? Let's talk for a minute about commitment. It's a firm inward decision to do something. A firm inward decision to do something. Okay, commitment, commitment, commitment. Firm inward decision to do something. It comes from a Latin, the word decision comes from a Latin word which means to cut away. So when you make a decision, you cut away all options. So the bottom line on it is you have to make a decision that when I leave Bible study and I leave church, I will be committed to apply what I heard in the everyday crucible of everyday life. And it's challenging. Don't get me wrong. That was real water. The things that we experience, they are real situations. But thank God we're going to talk about it, begin to talk about it next week. We got help. See, the Holy Spirit's on the inside to help us. Now watch this. And we have to respond differently. Are you following me? So let me look quickly at some scenarios. Let's look at Matthew chapter 26. Quickly. So we'll have some scenarios. Now watch this. It says, now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, holding fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Watch this. And Jesus said unto him, friend. Okay, let's think about this. Real life situation.
Now, you spend all this time with this dude, this Judas. You know, poured your life into this guy, been everything to the guy. And the guy betrays you. You know what he's doing. And he tells, and he going to betray you now with a token of affection, a kiss. Watch this. How do you respond when you know? Come on now. It's real life now. Your best friend. And you've been in Bible study because you go to Bible study all the time. Okay. You go to church every Sunday. But your best girlfriend, your best buddy, everybody, you've been with this person all the time. You trust your life to this person. And this person betray you with a kiss. How do you respond? Now, watch this. How do we respond? How do we respond? Okay. That's real. That's a real response. Okay, how many of y'all, be honest, you're going to cuss? Curse, profanity. How many of you going to give him a piece of your mind? We don't care what we learn in Bible study. The Bible said, love your enemies, bless them who curse you, do good to them, hate you, pray for them that despise, but we still gonna give them a piece of our mind.
Just a little bit.
Okay. Friend. He's consistent. See, Jesus is consistent. What he does doesn't determine what I do. Consistency. Hey, friend, I know what you're doing, but I'm still your friend. Okay? That's where we got to get. Because if we don't get there, Bible study is no different than anything else. We might as well go to the club.
Right.
See, if we're going to respond the same way in the crucible of life, then really this is a joke.
Yeah.
It's a club. Uh-huh. But if this is equipment, if we're being equipped now, then we're going to have to respond differently, even though every part of us want to cuss. Yes, and there have been times I wanted to cuss. And listen, I never cursed. There's nobody in my community has ever heard me curse. I've been married to my wife 40 years. She's never heard me curse. Never. My kids have never heard me curse. Okay? But there have been times. Okay, you follow me? Let's look at another scenario. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. Now, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, they abounded to the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Here's the church, Christians in deep poverty, the Bible says, down to the bottom poverty. And they're in poverty because of persecution. And a lot of times in those days, when you confess Christ, you could lose your job, you could lose all kinds of things. God wasn't teaching them anything. It was just the nature of what was going on. Persecution, all kinds of challenges. So they're in deep poverty. Paul is taking up an offering. And the Bible says they gave not to their power. They gave beyond their power. And then they begged him and said, listen, we want to give this thing too. How do you respond when you got pressure on you financially? Do we throw this tithing business out? We'll get you back with you later. We'll get back with you later. Do we sow our way out of it? Or is this just something we heard in church? Is it just a theory we heard in church?
Or do we take it in the arena of life? I got pressure on me, but I know in the kingdom, the way to have is to give. How do you respond? How do you respond? Do you leave the mirror of the word and then forget what matter man you are? Are you really a doer or are you just a hearer? This real life stuff. Because the bills are real. The challenges are real. Just like that water, it's real. How do we respond? The church is quiet tonight. Okay, let's look at another scenario. Here's one of the most difficult challenges you'll ever face. And that is the death of a loved one. Most difficult thing you'll ever face. The departure of my mother, the departure of my dad was challenging, especially considering my background. One raised by my parents. These are the people that took me in 3 months old. Parents did not want me. They took me and raised me. Didn't have a whole lot. My dad was my hero. And my mother was my greatest fan. And they died. Wow. I know what the Bible says. I've been in Bible study. I've been in church. I heard the preacher say, there's a comforter. Okay? Jesus said this, peace I leave with you. Didn't he say that? He said that in Bible study, didn't he? Peace I give to you, not as the world what? Yes. Give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and don't let it be afraid. Okay. So what do we do? How do we do this? I've taught a number series, got a book out called Weep Not, taught a number series. The day will come. You listen to me, that's not a negative statement. The day will come where someone close to you is going to die. That's the nature of it. What you going to do? How are you going to respond to that? Are you going to respond on the Spirit of God? Are you going to look to Him? Or are you going to claim that peace? I know what it's like, but I also know what it's like to have supernatural. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, it's not just a sermon for me. I know what it's like for the Spirit of God to take hold with me and give me supernatural spirit. But I had to press into it. See, I had to apply what I had learned in Bible study. But I see Christians all the time, not putting anybody down. God is my witness. But I see Christians go through stuff like that just like everybody else. They respond no differently than people who are not taught the word. And it's not something you criticize anybody on. I mean, you don't criticize anybody on that. I mean, you know what I mean? You don't criticize. I am just saying there is something more for us. But how are we going to respond in that situation? Let's look at one more situation. What do we do in times of marital conflict? How do we respond? It says, likewise, your husband dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, being heirs together with the grace of life, that your prayers be not what? Hindered. And then it says, finally, be of one mind, have compassion one of another, love brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Why? Not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, but contrariware blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a what? A blessing. So how do we respond? I've been married 40 years. First part ever was tough. Yeah, it was tough. Ooh, I did not like her. And she did not like me. Okay. She's my very best friend on the planet. Nobody I would rather be with in the whole planet than my wife. Don't even like to be away from her. But, you know, in the crucible of that situation, I hate to make a choice, and she had to make a choice. Are we going to respond in our flesh? Or are we going to take what we learn in Bible study
Because the only way God can turn it around is we got to take what we learn in Bible study. We got to take what we learn on Sunday morning. There can't be a gap between what we learn and how we act. It's not some mystery thing that God loves us now, so he turned it around. No, no. It was a decision to apply the word in the everyday life. When your flesh wants to go one way, you make a choice, discipline yourself to respond on the word in the crucible of that experience, and then God confirms his word.
Wow. Wow. It's heavy, Pastor. Because you're telling me today that I can't just come to Bible study. You're telling me today that the difference between my life is how consistent and committed I am to apply what I learn in my everyday life. Yes, that's what I'm saying. And in closing, children, this is my closing. In closing, it is not enough to hear God's word. It is what we do with God's words in our everyday life in difficult times that determine the outcome. The goal of hearing and learning is not to know, but to do. The goal of hearing and learning is not to know, but to do. If I stop at knowing, the Bible says knowledge will puff me up. So you got so many Christians, we word people. We go to a word church. A word church. And then you get out in the crucible of everyday life. You don't see any word. So the goal of hearing and learning is not to know but to do. Mark Sanborn said, intent without action is daydreaming. Intent without action is what?
Daydreaming.
And let the church say,
amen.
Amen.
If this message has been a blessing to you, write us at Post Office Box 8342, Birmingham, Alabama 35218, or visit us online at www.mikemoreministries.org. And remember, the Word of God is the answer.